driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV.
Oh, yes. It's early.
He's too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes.
It's 9 o'clock.
Well, for me,
it's not even early in California anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, isn't it? They get to go looking for alligator walleye pike. I'm going looking for saber-tooth snook.
Yeah. They got those in the Amazon, you know.
Yeah, saber-tooth snooks?
Yeah.
In Germany, they're called Huchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big saber-tooth trout. Yeah. And a monster-tooth trout.
I can't remember what that one in the Amazon's called.
Okay.
Pika, something like that. It's got a mouth like a snook, only it has two holes in its upper jaw for the bottom teeth to stick out of.
Yeah. That's one of the things. Got to get down there and go fishing. My goal this year is to go to Alaska.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to Alaska this year.
No.
I just got to see it. I want to go out in the Pacific. I've never done halibut. I want to do that.
I saw it on the Discovery Channel, and that was good enough for me.
I'm going to get somebody to take us up on a river and do the drift boat and the salmon and all that kind of stuff. And I want to fly onto a glacier. I want to stand on a glacier before they're gone. And
you've been ice fishing in Minnesota. What's the difference?
I know. I mean, as a kid, I made snow tunnels that went, you know, 100-yard snow tunnels, you know, and stuff like that. And I've skied. I've done ice skating and snowmobile racing and all this stuff. It just, you know, bucket list stuff.
I don't see the fascination. Go home, get a bucket of ice, throw it on the floor, stand on it. Same thing.
I know.
You're standing on a pile of ice.
You know, I just want to be, you know, standing on a glacier. I have no idea why. It's one of those things I got to do. I wanted to go down in the Grand Canyon.
I would do.
I was contracting. Then I was a.
Is there fish down there?
I don't know. We flew in with a helicopter. I wanted to get down, you know, and see it. So we hired a helicopter and we went down and got in the Grand Canyon. Had, you know, champagne and snacks, hors d'oeuvres at the thing. And, you know, just one of those little things.
I don't know. That's not me. Unless there's fish down there, it's pointless.
Yeah, but
it's just a really deep.
It's a really deep ditch.
Yeah.
Yes, I
with
know
a
that.
A little water at the bottom. Now, if there's fish down there, different story.
I think, you know, one of these days I have to get back. But, I mean, I've done the Roaring Fork, the Frying Pan. I can't remember. I've done 3 of the 5 Golden Streams. I've done Top of Mountains. I've fly fished in a extinct volcano. It's at 14,500 above tree line.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's in the bowl of a volcano, all the grass and everything grows there. You get trees and grass, and it's really beautiful, and a big lake. But you literally go out of the trees, and then you get up, and you go into this, you know, volcano bowl, and there you are. And it was just beautiful.
Is it all green water, like emerald green water?
I don't remember it was green. It was clear. It was real clean water.
Yeah, and usually it gets that emerald green hue to it from the algae, from the
it's too high up, I think.
Everything.
I think it's too high up.
It could be.
Well, on the lower levels, I saw some of that, but that was so high. I mean, it's hard to breathe up there.
Yeah, I bet.
Especially, you know, but I was in my early 30s, so I still had lungs and, you know, muscle and stuff. Anyway, fishing report, we got Captain Kale, as you noticed by the intro music.
Yep.
And Captain Kale's been on the water pretty much every day.
Every day.
And banged the boat into an oyster bed the other day.
Yep. Set it down on an oyster bed real good yesterday.
Bam.
Yep.
Yeah, she'll take it.
I'm
not worried about that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it either.
The great thing about those boats is literally you can go underneath and just drill a hole in the bottom.
A big hole.
You can drill a big hole as long as it, you know, and it doesn't matter. I watched them boats when I was working the oil spill literally have the bottom shredding off of it.
Yeah.
It was still fine. Care. Didn't notice it until we tried to put it on the trailer. Couldn't get on the trailer. You had to hold the fiberglass up.
To get on,
yeah. Yeah, we had guys laying underneath the trailer holding the fiberglass up to get past the frames. But, you know, patch the new glass, you know, cut the deck out, patch it, and put the deck back in, and off you go again. So, they ain't wonderful, but the dang tough, you know, simple tough. That's what
That's... You know, they're great work boats. I think they're great charter boats, and we're talking about the Carolina skiffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, and Marina Mike's got a great selection of those.
Yeah, he does.
I'm actually going down there either later today or tomorrow. I got to go down and see Marina Mike.
But, you know, they're not a great boat to take the family fishing on. There's no creature comforts. You know, it's built to work.
I like no creature comforts. I try and tell people, if you buy a boat with all that padding and pleating and all that stuff, you're the one out there with a toothbrush cleaning it.
Cleaning it.
And
it's going to dry rot sooner or later.
And then
it's
cracks, and then you got to replace it. With these boats, it's a pressure washer at the front to the back, and you're done.
You're done.
I love it. Anyway, you've been out in the water chartering. What's been going on?
The redfish have been doing really, really well. We're still chasing schools of big, oversized redfish. Really surprising the amount of big redfish that stayed behind in the harbor this year. You know, I get out there and you see these changes from year to year, and you get your hopes up. Does that mean we're going to have a lot of bait this year? It's going to be great. You know, it could be completely horrid, you know, and you don't know why those changes are happening. So, but you do get your delusions of grandeur.
Weirdest year, bait fish out by the intercoastal a little bit, in the passes, in the Gulf.
They haven't come in. They came in one day.
It's so sporadic up here.
Amazing. In February last year, we were getting bait at marker two.
Yeah, and right now our shrimp sales are 3 to 4 times what they should be.
Yeah.
Because there's just nothing else to fish with. And the good part is everything's eating it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and everybody's complaining about the lack of shrimp, but
It's not a lack of shrimp.
We don't know that we're going to have 1,700 people in
That's
the shop
not even
at
it.
6 in the
it's
morning.
It's not a lack of shrimp. We're literally selling 3 to 4 times as much as we were last year. It's getting enough to get through. The demand is so high right now.
Right.
And the problem with it is when the orders are so big, and it's bait shops all the way up and down the state, everybody's ordering 3 to 4 times as much as they usually do.
Exactly.
So the boats have to stay out late.
And people don't realize these boats don't go out for us bait shops. They go out for the food shrimp because they...
No. That's where you're wrong. Really? These are bait shop boats. There's a huge difference.
They all come off the same boat, don't they?
No. That's where people have the biggest misconception, because commercial shrimp boats go out and they'll drag 20, 30 minutes, an hour. It doesn't really matter because everything's coming up dead.
Right.
Those are the ones you see up and down the middle of the harbor, the rape and pillage boats.
Right.
They pull faster, they pull longer, and they use a different type of net. The bait shrimp usually use a roller rig or tickles or a lot of other stuff. But what's happening is they pull very slow for a very short time.
Because they don't want them to die.
Everything has to come up alive. And the biggest difference between the commercial boat and a bait boat, he is out there to get so many shrimp, period.
Right.
Once he gets his order, he's gone.
He's done.
And the commercial boat, just go until the boat gets heavy.
Right.
And if it's not big enough to sell, they throw it back in the water dead.
Right.
Everything comes up dead. Fish, shrimp, clams, everything's dead. And they just throw it in the water dead. That's why the fishing around the shrimp boat is usually so good.
Always great, yeah.
But what you've got in the bait industry is everything comes up alive. And they're throwing fish and shrimp they can't use. But the nice part about the bait industry is we sell from the very small to the very large.
Yeah, there's no waste.
Very, very little waste when it comes to the bait boats.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so key for people to understand there is a huge, drastic difference in the way the nets work, the rollers, the way they pull, and a bait boat does bait, period. Commercial boat never gets bait. They will give you dead bait. You know, and you can go up and trade them a bottle of whiskey for shrimp or something like that. You know, case of beer, bottle of whiskey goes a long way on a shrimp boat.
We've done that offshore. You know, hand them up a case of beer and they throw you a big old bin full of bycatch and dead shrimp.
Yeah, and
cheapest bait you ever bought.
Well, sorry guys, I'm dying here right now. It's a huge difference in the two.
Gotcha.
One's a complete rape and pillage, and the other one is not as much.
Right.
you can't say it's not, but it's not as much, because they're literally only out to get, they're going to get their order and they're done, because we have to get shrimp every day. We order shrimp literally 360 days a year. And people, a lot of the shrimp boats don't run on the major holidays, but actually, I would say we order shrimp 363 days a year.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
They're busy guys, that's for sure.
I mean, those are 2 days we can't get shrimp. But yeah. Other than that, we use three suppliers, sometimes four. But right now, we're buying shrimp across the 150-mile spread. From an hour and a half north of Tampa all the way down past Pine Island. So it's tough. And it's not that the shrimp... There's a lot of shrimp out there. It's just... getting them. That's the big problem.
But so, redfish have been doing great. East side has really picked up. The west side was the hot ticket a month ago. It's kind of switched sides. You're seeing all the bonnet heads over on the east side now. You're seeing the redfish.
Everything went east.
Yeah, everything went east.
The east side is back.
Yeah.
Back in your nightmare. I mean, no, never mind. Okay.
Well, sometimes
it is. Yeah, I know, because you're sitting there and you got this spot you really want to go to, and then there's two boats there already.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Snook, the snook are coming alive. Saw some really, really, really big snook on the east side yesterday.
We got to get rid of the slot limit and get it so you can't keep anything under 40 inches.
I agree with that. I really do.
I want to see a lot more 40-inch snook out there, and I hate the slot limit.
These were 20- and 30-pound snook that we were looking at cruising the mangroves.
Yep. So you shouldn't be allowed to keep a snook under 40 inches, period.
I agree.
I want every one of them to breed, every one of them to grow. I want to be releasing 39.5-inch snook every day.
They've done their job.
And enough of this.
They've done their job. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had their chance to breed as both male and female.
Exactly.
So they've done their job.
Yeah, they've been to San Francisco. They've seen the pony. You know?
Yeah, exactly. you're exactly right.
And the cool part about it is, a lot of people in state agree with me, and the only people who think little snook tastes better than big snook are the ones that catch little snook.
Right. Exactly.
I grew up catching big snook. Yeah. If it wasn't 38 inches, it was embarrassing, you know. And I have a lot of fun catching 27, 28, 30, 32-inch snook. They're amazing. They battle. They jump. But for food, I like the big ones. You get those big, thick steaks out of them, and they're just tasty, and they're good.
Yeah,
and
they don't taste any different between small. Honestly,
actually, the meat's a little firmer, and
it
cooks better.
Firmer, but I have never... seen a fish where a small one tasted bigger or better than a big one ever. You hear people say this all the time with the black drum and the trout and the snapper. You know what? I've had little snapper. I've had big snapper. Couldn't tell the difference. I've had big cobia. I've had little cobia. Couldn't tell the difference. This isn't veal. Okay.
No.
It's not veal.
But
it's a fish.
I actually like the firmer meat. I can put it on the grill. I have so many more ways of cooking it.
Yeah.
It didn't change the flavor. And all we're talking about is with the little ones, the meat is a little more flaky. But flaky means it falls apart. And I don't want it to fall apart.
Right.
I want it to taste wonderful and stay together.
Well, yeah.
So, anyway, I'm ranting. So, sorry about that.
Snapper and jacks inside the rim canal are doing great. Getting some big jacks in there. And if
that's PGI rim canal.
Yeah, the PGI rim canal. If you work through there.
And the reason we know this is the wind has been blowing so hard.
Yeah.
A lot of times just to get from, you know, back from the east side back up the river, it's easiest just to cut through the PGI canals. Because you can go from behind the bar right up through in Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, just come around the rim canal. And as long as you're going, why not troll?
Yeah. I think I ruined the guy's life up there the other day. He was renting a place up back inside Bass Inlet, and him and his wife had been looking in South PGI, and of course they didn't buy back there because it's a 45-minute,
you know,
troll out to Ponce Park. Yeah. And you never saw Poacher's Cut? What's that? Well, it's the shortcut from Alligator Creek into the south end of PGI. No. So we went in. And when he saw where we came out, he says, "You just made my life hell." He says, "Now I have to go look at houses again."
You ruined my week.
But we did great on shrimp in there for the snapper. You're going to have to pick through the little ones, but it's fun. If you really don't feel like picking through the little ones, throw a 17MR.
Right.
You get the bigger fish. You get the bigger snapper, your juvenile snook, your jacks.
Damn you, sir.
I know. I love that little lure. I
gotta tell you, Eric was in Saturday again, the owner of Mirror Lure.
Yeah.
He continues to amaze me. I bet you I had 50 people after the day of the 10 sale coming up and saying, oh, man. And they've been catching more fish because Eric was able to show them.
They're working them right now.
Yeah, he was able to show them how to twitch that lure the right way.
Yep.
And once you get it, it really gets it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, but they have the twitch bait.
Yeah.
And it is. It's really good. But sorry about that. But we're going back, and upriver is amazing right now. The Mayaca River's got fish. The Peace River's got
the
fish.
Yeah, the rivers. And the only thing I can think is because of the rain that we've been getting, it's giving them some different food items.
A little tiny, tiny bit of rain actually lights those rivers up. And we've had that little tiny bits of rain here and there.
Yeah.
And it's so salty. There's no water really coming down.
Right.
But every once in a while, you get that little half inch across the top, and it just brings all that other food down.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, 3 weeks ago, the river was dead.
Yep.
And now it's just every dock is holding redfish, snook. When you're fishing those docks, you know, fish your dock. Don't just run to the next dock. Get on your trolling motor and take your time or drift. Throw those twitch baits in between the docks. Throw those small crankbaits like your Rapala X-Wraps, your Storms.
What I like about this,
the trout are hanging out in between the docks because there's so many bigger fish underneath the docks, the trout don't want to be there.
And you're going to lose so many lures on so many monster fish that I'm going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of oversized redfish up the river, and you really don't see that this time of year.
And the Mayaca River is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You get up on the Mayaca River, there's so many redfish up there, so many snook, and big jacks. Both rivers full of jacks.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to assume the Caloosahatchee is doing the same thing. I can't get any reports on it, but it's got to be. It's the same basic setup. And all three rivers, the Caloosahatchee, the Peace, and the Mayaca, great time to be up on them. With the windy, rainy weather, you know.
Absolutely.
When it's nice out, get out along the barrier islands, get out on the beaches. You got mackerel, you got a little bit of pompano out there, you still got some sheephead. What else is going on out there? A little bit of whiting.
The tarpon are at the bridge.
Yeah, we got tarpon up here in the harbor. They're in and out of the passes. You got to look for them. And now, my best advice, if you want to look for tarpon on the intercoastal or up in the harbor, look towards the sandbars. They seem, when they first come up, to stack up along the outside of the sandbars in that 4 to 6 foot of water.
Yeah.
Don't know what they're doing. It's like they're staging, maybe saying hello to everybody, and they're in groups of 5 to 20 or 30.
Well, they haven't seen everybody since last year, so they got to get together and say hello.
I think they do the little sniff around things, you know, and just, but it's amazing. But literally, you go down along the outside of the bars, 4 to 6 foot of water, go slow, and look straight down. Don't look out around for you, because you're going to see them all of a sudden at the dark patch, and you're like, that's a big patch of grass. It's not grass.
And
that's fish.
You're going to see
solid
shark.
Fish.
You're going to see shark and cobia in there too. We've got Spanish mackerel all the way up to the 41 bridge. We're still having a really good supply of glass minnows out there. So the mackerel are up here. Usually they don't come up here until the greenbacks and the thread fins are heavy.
They're on there.
But there's enough glass minnows to keep them satisfied. So they're up here feeding too.
And if you're looking up a glass minnow, you're Googling them. It's actually a bay anchovy.
Silver sides.
Yep.
Is another name for them.
There's just a whole bunch of this stuff out there, and it's amazing how many fish is going on right now. What's cool is shrimp is still catching fish.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's probably hands down the best thing to throw right now.
Hands down, it's probably the only thing. If you can get around the barrier islands, along the beaches of Sanibel, Captiva, Cayo Costa, Gasparilla, any of them, there's lots of greenbacks out there, a lot of thread fins. There's a lot of bait fish.
It's just too far for us upper harbor guys to run.
It's not even that. It's too inconsistent. So the good news is, if you can get them, great bait. They're going to beat the heck out of them. You're going to catch a lot of fish. If you don't, just take the shrimp. They're going to eat them. You're going to catch a lot of fish.
Yeah.
It really isn't. What's wonderful is it doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good-sized snook caught on shrimp, and that's something that isn't really very consistent bait for your, you know, your slot size snook. They're usually looking for fish to eat.
And well, because right now we're just getting into the spawning season, snook are going to start spawning and all that. They need the oils from the bait fish to help their reproduction. So they really do key in on the greenbacks, the thread yep. fins, and less so the pinfish and less so the shrimp. But this year, it works.
They're eating pinfish. They're eating pinfish very well.
And all you got to do is, best thing to do with a pinfish, get a little bobber. Put that pinfish under the bobber so he can't go down. You throw a pinfish free line, he's going to immediately go down and hide in the grass.
Right.
If you can get him under a float, get him under a bobber. Yeah. Doesn't need to be a popping cork because they're going to go good. But hook him just under the dorsal fin, just behind towards the back. So if you had a center line of the fish, go just back of center, you know, front to back, and then just below the dorsal under that popping cork. And that allows him great movement. If you hook him through the nose, it's not as good. You got to hook him right just under the dorsal, back of center.
In the ass. Hook him in the ass. That's been working well, too.
I don't do that under the bobber too much because it's the wrong end. If I do it, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying, exactly where you're doing it, but I'm using it on the top because he's hanging on the...
Right,
If I'm putting him on a sinker or a split shot, I do exactly as you say because that's the best way to do it. But I do it the other way when I'm on the float. I hook him on the top if he's on a float. I hook him on the bottom if he's on a sinker. Allow him to stay as upright and natural as possible.
Yeah.
But anyway, best bet for today, Captain Kilt. You've been running every day on charters.
Yeah.
And you guys have been having a good time.
Yeah.
Where would you say a good bet? Let's go for kids. So if you're going to take some kids out, where would you find mackerel, ladyfish, a good activity fish like that?
If you were going to look for Spanish mackerel, shrimp underneath popping corks out at the Alligator Creek Reef.
Okay.
Now, with our rains that we're having today, we may have some winds coming with it. I would probably run upriver to Liverpool. Liverpool is just absolutely chock full of ladyfish right now.
Good advice.
Jigs, jig head, shrimp on a jig head.
Should work anywhere Harbor Heights north.
Well, we really saw them we hit all the deep holes on the way up looking for tarpon. And the only one that had them really consistent was Liverpool for some reason. And
it's deep water. That's 20 feet of water.
It's deep water, and it tells me that the tarpon have moved out of there.
Right.
The ladyfish aren't going to hang out there if it's full of tarpon.
No, who wants to be lunch?
Yeah. So
I want to live. I want to live. Yeah,
exactly. But it's absolutely, and it doesn't matter what you put in there. We ran out of shrimp. We were taking strips of white plastic bag, putting them on a jig head, dropping it down there, jigging a few times, and still pulling out ladyfish left and right.
Well, that's fun.
And I think that would probably be my best bet for today because it's pretty much guaranteed. You're out of the wind. It's already raining. If you're taking kids, you want to catch fish just so they get hooked on fishing. Plus, they're kids. Their attention span isn't that long.
You got about nanosecond of MTV attention span.
Yeah, they need that instant gratification to get hooked on fishing.
Once they've done it a little while and they can catch a lot of fish, it's easier for them to wait the next time them in between the bites, you know, and... Yeah. They learn pretty quickly that a lot of times if you're waiting for bigger fish, that's a whole different level of excitement. And then there's the instant gratification, the high intensity of the ladyfish, trout, Spanish mackerel routine. Sure.
So now, if you want to latch into some trout, we were catching some really nice sized trout just north of Birdshit Key out by Placida. There's a little 5-foot deep bowl out there just above the key, and it was just chock full of trout with a spattering of Spanish mackerel.
Well, that's cool. So along the intercoastal out there, just north or just south of the Placida Trestle, it's about a quarter mile, half mile south, or is this a different one I'm thinking of?
No, it's, you're in the right area.
Okay, kind of by Dog Key there, so.
Yeah.
Just a little south of that. And you can also go, if you look close in a chart, you'll see where, when the water comes in Gasparilla Pass, comes underneath that first bridge, heads south down there, and then the other main intercoastal waterway goes south right where they come together. Always a great spot to catch that kind of fish.
Yeah.
So.
And you're right there 100 yards away from that hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the little island full of the white pelicans. It's just north of that.
Well, I think we've given something to think about today.
Sure.
And
the one thing that I do now that I see one sitting here, how well is that new Flats Wrap doing?
Really good.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
They're gone.
Yeah, it's nice to see, but people are putting pictures of it up. Yeah. Catching fish. Black tip shark.
This thing has turned into a cult hit.
Yeah.
It really has. I've been getting it. Today, my goal is to get back. We went through about a dozen over a matter of a few weeks. Then all of a sudden, everybody Bam. Came in. The other five dozen I had were gone.
Yeah.
But we're...
I didn't even get
they
one.
They should be. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't have one left. Yeah. I gave my last one out. I mean, my personal one went. It was, but we're going to bring them back in three different colors. And that one is already in production, but we've got two new colors coming out. And
I didn't like that, the original color, but it works.
I know. Looked at that. When you just look at it, it looks cool because it's got the golds and stuff. It wasn't until I saw it in the water that I went, oh my God, this thing, because of the action of it, when it falls going down or twitches coming up, it looks like a flashbulb going off, a bright gold flashbulb.
Yep.
It really catches the light crazy.
I really want to take that and start working the snapper holes.
It'll be a week or two before we get any more guys, so it's going to be a week or two. And I got two new colors we're going to bring out in that. So we're going to have the silver. We've got our original one, and now we're going to bring it out in two new colors, and it's going to be spectacular.
Now, what are the colors?
I'm not telling. I'm not telling.
So silver and black and silver and green.
Possibly. But, I've got two new colors coming out. I think you guys are going to really like them, and... It's the first vertical twitch.
We're coming up on summer in our murky water, so we really need to get that black gold with an orange belly.
Yeah, well, we got the first vertical twitch bait, and it's really Rattle Trap's got a real winner.
And it works. It works phenomenally well.
But I hate talking about lures I don't have. It's going to be a while to get. It's going to be. Yeah, I know. But I finally, me, Kale, Robert, and Rattle Trap all got together on a different type of flats lure, because let's face it, you've got the MR17, you've got the twitch bait down. You're not going to get much better than this. If you need something a little bigger, you go to the Sabeel. And so there is already that market, and there's no one ever going to touch Eric's MR17. But on a vertical twitch, something that you can work a little differently when the few, it's just a different choice.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever going to be a better lure than the MR17 or even the Sabeel, but...
I think the 17MR is a great low-tide lure. I think the Flats Wrap is a great high-tide lure.
Right.
Sometimes that foot of depth makes a difference.
I think one of the things that's going to take a little while is we're going to give them to change the name to the F-Trap, Flats Trap.
I think they should just call it the Flats Trap.
Well, we're just going to do F-Trap.
You know?
Oh, it also gives me an ego boost.
True.
See?
Can you call it the FF trap?
Yeah, that's what I'd like them to do, but, So, I don't have much of an ego anymore, but I do have a little bit there,
You got a lot more than you think.
Oh, yeah, I know I do. I'm trying to be modest, but no, I'm an arrogant, egotistical jerk. Okay. And there is no doubt about it.
You suck at being modest.
Yeah, I really am lousy at it because I'm not modest. I love my job. I'm good at it, I really do. I'm good at my job, and I like it.
Barb got a taste of it yesterday. We had my cousin out, and we were sitting inside the room canal, and a guy on a kayak comes by and says, "Aren't you Captain Kale?" Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I am. So she got a taste of it, too.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I started out as a musician, and I don't think there would have been five people could have picked me out of a lineup. And I own a bait shop, and now I'm like 400 times as famous as I would have ever been as that.
Imagine that.
And I guess I did always have that, like being on stage, Gene. So Anyway, enough about me and my weirdness, and Captain Kale's in the chair across from me. A little taste of radio fishing this morning, and we're going to try and get back. Robert's out sick. He's really, I mean, he's actually going to the doctor. He's
That's
really sick.
That's saying a lot.
So he's been going to, out of the store for a week now, and I think part of it's his addiction. You know, he's going through withdrawals. He hasn't been in the store enough, so he's twitching. Yeah. And I don't know how the doctor's going to regulate that.
Yeah, what are they screwing up while I'm gone?
So, right after the tent sale, he gets sick, and then he's going crazy.
Well, he puts every last ounce that he has into, you know, the tent sale.
Oh yeah,
and.
He just, I try to tell him, you have to go home, Robert. You have to get some sleep. I'm fine. I can do this.
Yeah, the tent sale is, I really don't know what to call it. I mean, it is
a big. It's the tent event.
It is, I'm talking about the day after.
Oh, the day after?
You're completely spent. It's mentally and physically.
I was here at 6 a.m. the next day.
You guys.
I was here at 5 in the morning till 10 something.
You and Robert have.
6 to midnight, and then 5 to 10, and then the next day 6 to 7 and 6 to 8. And
it's hard. I mean, you guys.
I finally got off a little early last night.
The physical and the mental. You guys have got the stress of.
How are we going to pay for all this?
Yeah, you've got to put out the.
How am I going to pay for
that's
it?
That's you know, a big misconception with a tent sale is these people and these reps that come here.
We have to try and get everything ready. We got a lot of work to get them ready for.
Yeah, these guys show up.
And, you know, we get together with them. We get them together with them on the products. We get together with everything else. But, you know, I will say. To watch the president of Penn get everything ready, that guy rolls his sleeves up and just works. Gary, the Pure Fishing rep, rolls his sleeves up and works.
I mean, of Gary. I expect that from but you don't expect to see that from the CEO of Penn.
I got
to
tell you.
You wouldn't know it's him. You'd expect the CEO of Penn to wear a suit and tie.
And he comes in, you know, he's always nice.
Jeans,
you know,
and a polo shirt.
And I got to tell you, but the guy has no fear of work.
No.
I mean, and not in the same way. You know, I have no fear of work. I can lay right down next to it and go to sleep. It doesn't scare me a bit. But with him, he just rolls his sleeves up and digs
in.
But
he had no problems going into our dusty, dirty warehouse and grabbing stuff and carrying it out here and getting a little dirt on his hands and under his fingernails. It's
impressive guy.
Works
really
hard.
Impressive. Really works hard.
Talks well to the customers.
I was watching him. He sold not only his brand, 3 other brands. The classiest guy is the guy who does what's best for the customer.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, I know we talk a lot about Penn, but you, honestly, I have never seen a company more consumer-oriented. He's sitting there, and if you wanted to see an Akuma or a Daiwa or a Quantum or whatever it was, that's what he would show you, and he would explain the goods and bads about it.
Yeah.
This guy knows everybody's product.
Yes, he does.
Everybody's product.
Yes, he does.
I was like, are you kidding me? I'm listening to him talk about the drags and these things.
And that's why they've gone as far as they have. They have an understanding. They know what they have to beat in Shimano. They know what they have to beat in Quantum. They understand those products.
Staggering.
Know your enemy.
Know your enemy.
It's a very
keep
simple
keep your friends
concept.
Close and your enemies closer.
Yeah, it's a very simple concept.
But how many people actually put that much effort into it? It's no wonder they're the back as the fastest growing real company in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, just leaps and bounds.
And I think they're bigger now than they've ever been.
I don't know. At one point, Penn was the monster dog. You didn't beat Penn for a few years.
Well,
but
back when they were the only thing on the market, too.
Well, no, there was a lot of reels back then.
Now,
but I'm telling you, they're getting closer. And honest to God, boys and girls out there, they deserve it. I've never seen a harder working bunch, never seen anybody who stands up to their mistakes, because when there's a mistake on a reel, it can cost tens of thousands of dollars to retool and re-engineer.
Yes.
And they've done it. And they continue to do it to keep that product line upgrading. So, yes, when you read on the internet, yes, the battle had problems. This one had problems. The next one had problems.
They fixed it.
But they fixed it.
You don't
and
have
they
to
spent
wait.
The tens of thousands of dollars
you
to
don't,
do it.
You don't have to wait until they come out with a new model or a changed model or an upgraded model to get those fixes. You don't have to wait that.
Impressive. But, what very, really very impressive. And never really, never raised the price of the reel.
No.
First price was, it's been the same price. Absolutely. They've absorbed those costs. They've taken it on themselves, and that's got a hit on the bonuses and stuff.
Yeah.
And that upper management, I know, does not like not getting their full bonuses, but... You know, you're going to do it for the consumer, but I don't want to. I don't want this to be a pen show. We're gonna quit.
Yep.
But still staggered, still amazed, proud to be a pen dealer. I like the people, and Daiwa makes a good product, and Shimano makes a good product. We're iffy with the company yet, but we're trying to get that worked out. But there's a lot of good reels out there. Quantum, Zebco.
Yep.
But a hardest working, consumer-oriented bunch right now. I'm putting Penn at the top of the list. Number one, worried about their customers. So that, and I remember when Shimano was that way. I remember when Daiwa was that way. I remember every one of them has their heyday. Yeah. After almost 30 years of this, I've seen them all get big, but then they kind of get lazy once they become the best and everybody's buying their stuff. And I just hope that doesn't happen to Penn, because at this moment right now, Number one, consumer oriented.
I don't think they will do that. I hope not. It would have happened by now.
No, because they're just hitting that peak. If they can keep this up for the next year and a half, they're going to prove that they've done what no other company has ever done before, and that's stay humble and know that the customers are the ones that's important, not their bottom line, because the bottom line will take care of itself.
Yeah.
You take care of your customers, they will take care of keeping you in business.
Where does that sound familiar?
I have no idea.
It's an amazing concept.
Yeah.
That's an amazing concept.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, we're gonna do some Diupers. Probably the most fun. I'm going to rate this one of the best fishing songs ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love it.
Well, that's Fishing Frank and Captain Kale, and thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. We'll see you in the next one, guys. Bye-bye.